You know, I like what God told Ezekiel. He told him, he said, you dwell among a group of rebellious people. And I'm not saying that you're all rebellious. What I'm saying is that, well, Moses did say, you've been rebellious since the day I knew you. So that's, he knew it. And in our hearts, we hide rebellion. Oh, can we ever mask rebellion in a pretty little religious package? Huh? Can't we? We can, and understand this. I'm not, this is preventative chastening. And I'm going to tell you another thing. A lot of preachers won't love you enough to tell you the truth. They'll pacify you, keep the group going, keep the thing going, keep everything going the way it is, but they won't tell you the truth because they don't love you enough to tell you the truth. They don't love God enough because they're worried about bodies, bucks, and buildings. That's the truth. So they won't tell you. They'll let you continue on and not try to strengthen you. Why? Because if you can just keep things going and nobody gets offended, well, then, hey. Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you get offended, just get right with God. It's not that hard. Just get right with God. That's all you got to do. Or show me from the Bible where this isn't the scriptures and this isn't right. You know what I find, though? Most people don't do that. You know what they do? They run. They run. And then when they see you in public, they can't even look you in their eye. But they get big internet muscles, and they go online, and they literally look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he won his, you know, weightlifting competition. Online, it's like, wow, these are the champions. I mean, that's Superman. In public, their face is in the dirt, and they can't even look at you. Anyway, that's probably too practical, but that's okay. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a desire to go somewhere with God? I want to ask that before I get started here, because that's not what the title of the message is about, but I want to ask you this. As I get started, I want to ask you, do you really have a desire to grow in your most holy faith? Do you have a desire to do something for God? Ask yourself that question, do I? And am I willing to count the cost? And am I willing to be obedient? Am I willing to submit to the Lord? Am I willing to submit to His church? Am I willing to submit to leadership? Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? Do I really want that? Or am I just playing games? Or am I playing charades? First Timothy chapter 3, please. I don't know how long this is going to go. I have no idea. But I ain't going anywhere, so that's fine. What's that, brother? Yeah, turn the crock pots down. First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. By the way, the title of this message is called The Most Despised Institution on Earth, the Local Church. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it ever? Oh, is it ever? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Father, help us, I pray. Lord, you've already showed me what you wanted me to do. Please empower it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I think you can see very clearly this is not a universal invisible church that's being spoken of here. This is the house of God. This is proper behavior in the assembly, in the church of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. How is it today that is the most despised institution on this earth? All that local church has been traded in for the internet. It's been traded in for teachings by serpents online. It's been traded in for everything you can possibly imagine. Everybody wants to trade in the local church for anything. Man, I'm telling you, there's as many excuses as there are eyeballs out there for the reasons why people don't want to show up to a local church. They'll use anything they possibly can to do it. They'll use, and really what they are, most of them, 95% of them, they're a bunch of rebels that don't want to do right. That's exactly what they are. That's why they leave the local church in most cases. That's why they skate out of town. That's why they can't look you in your eye. That's why they handle themselves that way, because they despise the local church. It is the most despised institution on earth. It really is. You know, Christ receives the glory in his church throughout all ages, world without end. Now, when we say church, we mean local New Testament church, obviously, no universal invisible monster. There's a fake one that tries to form on the internet, but there's not a universal invisible one. There's a behavior in the house of God. What does the Bible say? It says, to know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. There is a proper behavior. You'll notice inside of that proper behavior, there are offices there. There is leadership there. There is a authority there. It is very plain. There's an order there that's supposed to be there. You don't get to just do whatever you want to do and be some Johnny come lately, walk in and act like you're going to dictate the rules of how things are going to go. Amen. Doesn't work that way, friend. Some of us been here for a long time. Some of us been suffering for God and doing things and suffering the reproach that it takes and serving God for a while. We didn't just come along the last minute and act like we're owed something. Amen. Boy, I don't expect, you don't have to be loud. I know it's going to be quiet. I want you to think. I'm not mad at anybody either. I want you to know that, except Satan. But you just remember this one thing. You keep in the back of your mind what Jesus said. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So that means, pastor, if a pastor doesn't rebuke and chasten his members, then he doesn't love them, does he? No, he doesn't. Just like a parent that doesn't parent their children and rebuke and chasten them and spare the rod. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, shall I come to you in the spirit of meekness or with a rod? Sometimes you got to bring the rod out, don't you, mom and dad? Sometimes you got to. Sometimes it's needed. Now, we've been through a lot of things in the last year. We've been baptized through some afflictions in the last year, and God's brought us out on the other side. And now we're done playing patty cake, and it's time to get serious about God. It's time to move forward and see God do a mighty work. Amen. I hope and trust that's your desire, and I believe everybody here that I'm looking at right now has that desire. I really do believe that. Wholeheartedly, I believe that. I'm not saying it because I don't. I'm saying it because I want to sharpen you. You know, I've heard a lot of crazy things over the last week. I keep saying that because they keep getting crazier, but I heard somebody say, well, we're all equal in the house of God. Well, that's true as it goes to value and importance, yes. But that's not true as it goes to authority. Otherwise, your children can look at you and say, Dad, we're all equal in this house. Who do you think you are, Dad? Right? When's the last time you let your son do that? When's the last time you let your daughter do that? You wouldn't, would you? But I know a lot of hypocrites that do it to the pastor and to the church. I know a lot of hypocrites that do it. I've seen it. This is going to get real. It's going to get real. And by the way, I just want to preface this by saying I'm not apologizing. I will never apologize for obeying God, and I will never apologize by God's grace for pastoring you and teaching you the truth. I don't care what any internet charlatans say about me. I don't care how many videos you make. Get in line. There's a ton of them. I don't really care. I don't care. Amen. I will not be stopped by the grace of God from doing what God has called me to do. I'm telling you, like a rocket. If I wasn't being held down right now, I'd fly right through this roof straight to heaven. I'm telling you that. People don't like the fact that the Bible talks about ruling the house of God. Oh, no, not today. That's evil. Oh, I forgot. So you'll stay home and be ruled by the internet. And you'll rule, you will not have any man rule over you except yourself, and you'll sit at home. You know, okay, I'll just keep going right now. It'll come. Okay. By the way, the Bible says if he cannot rule well his own house, how shall he rule the house of God? You don't get to twist that scripture and act like it's not there. There's a leadership and there's a followership. And that's the way it goes. And without it, you have no real fellowship. That's God's way. Amen. Bible says double honor. So you might say, I don't like that. I know, because you're a rebel. That's why you don't like it, because you got a rebellious spirit. There, I said it. You don't like it? I'll say it again. You got a rebellious spirit. That's why you don't like that. By the way, God gave me something back this week. It was called confidence. And he gave it back to me, and he said, go, do what I've commanded you to do. Don't apologize for it. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look out. But I think it's important for you to know what the Lord expects from you and what I expect from you as a pastor, which is in line with the Lord expects you. I think it's important. But I want to talk about how the church is despised, and then I'm going to give you some instructions. And I'm going to just lay it out plainly what I expect, because it's what God expects. Right? Number one, the church is despised today. It is absolutely despised. I think the church is despised today. It is the most despised institution on this earth. That means to contemn, to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of. I see so many people that will not go to a local church because they say it's not perfect, it's not right, the pastor's not right, the pastor's not perfect, or this or that, and all these excuses. However, they don't have the same qualifications for their own home. They don't have the same qualifications for their job. Well, my boss is a jerk, or my boss isn't perfect, so I'm staying home. Forget you. A father that messes up, or a husband that's not walking strictly to the Bible like he should, doesn't say, well, wife, you don't have to follow me. I'm not perfect. Just do what you want to do. I'm a loser. I get a kick out of people like that, that they're not even fulfilling their role as a husband, yet you're going to tell a pastor how to pastor a church? You're going to tell somebody how to lead? You're going to do that, and you can't even fulfill the role that God gave you? Wow, how can you be so absolutely 100% deceived? Yeah, they are hypocrites. And they use every excuse they possibly can. Just getting started. Have I made you mad yet? You don't have to answer that. So I'm okay with it either way. You see how many people have a very low opinion of the house of God today? Ask yourself this question. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I despise the local church? Do I think little of it? Do I make excuses why I can't be there? By the way, Lee's family's barfing all over the place. That's why they're not here, just so you know. I just want to make sure you understood that. Well, I mean, yeah, literally, the whole family's puking, so so I was like, okay, yeah, you stay home. Thanks. But let me ask you a question. Do you make excuses why you can't be there or give reasons why you should? Does a hangnail stop me from being there? Look, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. But this generation, this generation makes way too many excuses why they can't be at church. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, where we come from, like, there wasn't an excuse. Like, you couldn't even invent one. You just get there. Now, I know that's an extreme, but I'd rather, much rather have it that extreme than the snowflake, limp-wrist excuses that I hear from people today. Buck up, Sally. It's a battlefield, not a playground. You got to esteem it like your necessary food, right? The Word of God, the fellowship, the reasons, the need that you have there. You know, that little thing that Christ died for that you despise, that church, that little thing. Is it a little matter with you that he died for the church? Does a sniffle keep me from being there? How about this one? Does being tired stop me from being there? That's a serious one, because I've heard that excuse a lot. And remember, I love you. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell you. Because, see, it'd be in my best interest to let you go on and keep doing everything and let everything go as smooth and nobody gets mad at me and everybody loves me and, well, that's never happened, but everything goes smooth and nobody's upset with me. And then you just keep going and all that, and I would be derelict in my duty, and I would watch how people would despise the house of God, and then I have to stand before God one day, and I have to give an account as I watch for your soul. And I get to stand before God. The guys that run out of here and quit and leave and quit on God and walk away and run with their tail between their legs like a bunch of sissy britches, those guys, they don't have to stand before God and answer for this church. I have to. And that's why God said, hey, don't be afraid of their faces, Ezekiel. You be afraid of mine. You be afraid of mine, Ezekiel. Well, I want to talk about this one because I believe you're not doing it. Some of you aren't doing it on purpose, I believe, but you can be using that as a reason, as an excuse, and it's actually despising the house of God. I believe it is. Here's why. My dad taught me a lot over the years about getting up and doing what you got to do. I watched that man from the time that before I can even remember, him getting up at 4:30, sometimes 3:30 in the morning, and going to work every single day of his life. You know, I tried to remember and go back and remember when he complained about getting up in the morning and about being like, well, I'm just not going. I don't remember it. I can't remember that. I can't remember my father ever doing that. I don't remember my father ever saying, well, I'm tired. You know what he said? Boy, what's tired got to do with it? What's tired got to do with it? The old Memphis generation, you know what they say when they hear that? Well, what's tired got to do with it? Boy, I've been tired my whole life. What are you talking about? You don't think you get tired by taking one hand like a monkey gorilla and picking up 200-pound castings and grinding it with the other hand? Working grueling 12-hour days and then going home, getting some sleep, taking care of 5 kids, getting up and in the morning and doing it all over again every day of his life. And then he had 2 sons that kept him up in the middle of the night that felt the wrath of Khan when they came in, or Kang. The Kang! You will never get that image out of my mind of my father, the Yeti, coming in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, being, what are you boys doing? And we're pretending like we're sleeping. And it looks like a gorilla, a mad, rabid gorilla in front of you. But you know something? He still got up for work every day. And I don't ever remember him complaining. No, you want to hear something else? Then he went and worked out in martial arts 5 times a week. 5 times a week. and then went and cleaned a Christian school every day after he got off work. And I don't ever remember him complaining about it. I just do not remember it. But I see a bunch of 20-year-olds complaining about not getting enough sleep. Really? By the way, that's before they had energy drinks and all other kind of nonsense. He just got up and did it. Now, let me ask you a question. Why are you so much different than him? Because you do what you want to do. That's why. Because where your heart is, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? Whatever you treasure up, whatever's important, you'll do. Right? I'm talking to men here. Look, I ain't babying you. I ain't babying you. I love you, and there are times that I'll baby you if you need it as little baby Christians, but I'll tell you something about being a man. I'm not babying you. You're expected to be a man. And you're expected to show yourself valiant. We have a generation coming up. What in the world are we going to do with them if we treat them like a bunch, if we act like a bunch of snowflakes now? What are we going to do for these guys? How are we going to toughen them up and show them what real men is? Everybody's walking around in skinny jeans, lip-wristed, earrings this big, looking like a bunch of fruits in a basket. If you don't show them what real grit is, what real men is, who's gonna? Oh, I need to sit at home in bed and rest. And I'm discouraged. You're not discouraged. You're rebellious. Get out of bed and get serving the Lord. Quit you like men and be strong. Right? Am I upsetting you? If I am, where's your treasure at? What's important to you? Well, you don't understand. Sweetums needs this many hours of sleep or else Sweetums will fall apart. Well, look, I'm sorry, Sweetums. All right? No, not you, Aaron. Look, I'm sorry, Princess, but it's time to get up and go. Look, we only have a short amount of time to prove to God how much we love him. And we're gone, friend. We're gone. And I'm looking around at this generation. I'm like, God, if I don't stand up, and if I don't say what needs to be said, and others like us, my kids ain't going to know what up or down is. They're not going to know. Look, you don't only have to do it for your own spiritual walk. You got to do it for them coming up behind you. There's people watching. What you make excuses for, oh, my friend, they'll make 1,000 more. Look, I remember my dad staying up late nights. I never once remember him complaining about it. When I was a kid, he'd work all day, go do all that stuff. I don't remember him ever complaining about it. And he's 70 years old, and he complains less than you guys do. It's true. And by the way, Andrew's a trucker. He's been trucking on down the road for a long time. How many years, Andrew? That guy gets up, and I ain't even going to tell you how much sleep he gets sometimes. Right? I never once heard him complain about it. He never once complained to me, Pastor, I can't come because I got this going on and that going on. I don't ever remember him doing that. I've been pastoring him for a while. I don't ever remember him doing that. I never wondered whether Andrew was going to be at church. I've never wondered that. Ask me if I wonder about you. I never wondered if he was going to be there. I never wondered if Lee was going to be there. I never wondered if she was going to be there. There's some that have been here faithful for many years. I've never wondered if they were going to be there. I never wondered if my dad was going to get up and do what he was supposed to do. And many of you are faithful. I'm not picking anybody out of a group, a lineup. I'm just telling you, I've never wondered. I shouldn't have to wonder whether you're going to show up. Should I? Do you wonder if I'm going to? Do you ever wonder if I'm going to show up? Right. I hope I never leave it in you. Look, when I had the flu, I was going to come. I'm not bragging, but I was going to come. But you know why I didn't? Because I didn't want to get you sick. Some of you I wanted to get sick. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Sort of. But yeah. No, I didn't. But I was going to come. You can ask my wife as my witness. The only reason I didn't come is because I didn't want to give it to you. But I wanted to be there. Joshua was with me. I was like, I'm going. He looked over at me like this. I rode with him that day, and he's like. And I'm like, I don't know, Josh. I'm not feeling so well. And he's like, I don't know if you ought to be going anywhere. I think maybe you better go home. You shut up, boy. I ain't going home. I got a duty to do. I wanted to be here. I always want to be here. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Lest you think it's because I pastor this church. Let me ask you a question. Where's the grit of this snowflake generation? Where's just the manly grit? Take out the spiritual side, but the manly grit of it. What you desire in your heart, you will go for. Amen? You will. Have we no stamina or endurance? Did you listen to Wednesday night's sermon? If you grow weary running with a footman, how will you contend with horses or the swelling of Jordan? Friends, if you think this is all the treacherous that it's going to get, look, the Bible says in these end times, brother will turn against brother. Seen it. Have we no power from the Lord to overcome the discomforts of the flesh? See, here's the thing, okay? The spirit of a man sustains what? Know how I know your problem's not physical? Because I've been through this before, and I've pastored people that walk around with poopy in their pants, okay? I've done it with their head down all the time and no joy. I've done it. And I know that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know who puts a spring in my step, friend. I know who makes me shoot and fire like a rocket. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know who lights my fire, friend. And it gets past all physical infirmities. It'll make a man drive 3 hours to church. That's twice all your ages and never complain about it once. That's what that does. Well, that's just practical, isn't it? That's just, that, you know, that's where that rubber meets the road, just plain old-fashioned Christianity right in your face. And I love it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, God did something in my heart this week. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, did he ever? I'm telling you, he did. And he said, move forward. Let me ask you a question. Can we not deny ourselves and our comforts and be faithful to the house of God? We can. Sometimes you just need a little nudge. And I'm a good nudger. I am. I think Angela missed it. She was no, I mean, she just missed being here, I think. She was on. I bet she was listening, though, but I mean, I'm glad to see she's doing good. Baby's alert. My goodness, you see that baby's eyes? Man. Sorry, not you, bud. Talk about the other baby. Oh, you. No, she's in trouble. What are you talking about? Let me tell you the general mindset of the house of God and the preaching of God's word in the assembly. A lot of people believe they don't need it. They believe they can be good Christians outside of the local New Testament church. Yeah, it is. I know, and I'm going to prove it today. Or put this in your remembrance. I don't think you'll forget this message, though. I've heard people, well, I have a book. I heard a radio show. I can study all kinds of things. I've learned a bunch of things on the internet, so I don't need church. Truly is ignorance and pride to believe that you don't need to be in the assembly and grow in the Lord. Do you despise the Lord's church? Do you have a very low opinion of it or a very high opinion of yourself? I kind of think it's probably more towards the other way, that you have a very high opinion of yourself. Well, that pastor, that church, that this, that that. They're just not as good as me. I've got it all figured out. I've been saved a whole 18 months. Yeah, I know. I got little kids that think the same thing. Right? They got it all figured out, don't they? Look, Dad, I got this. I don't need your help. Okay, son. Okay. Right? I've met a lot like that. They don't want to get any help. Why? Well, I don't want anybody to know I have flaws. Well, too late. We already know. We ain't fooled. Oh, my goodness, you can see it. It's written all over your face. Right? It's written all over your face. You got them. Guess what? We all do. That's why we all need each other, because we perfect one another. That's how it works. You just have different flaws than me, Dave. Mostly ugly feet. But that's mostly it. And Garrett doesn't have a beard, so that's a serious flaw. Huh? Physical. just kidding. He lost a bet with his wife. It's all. Just kidding. Maybe. Or she did it when he was sleeping. I don't know. She knew that your strength would go if she shaved your beard. That's what happened. And your strength went. Just kidding. Just kidding, Lee. I know you're home, Lee. Just kidding. Sort of. You know, why didn't the Lord ever say that we could substitute the internet and get fed everywhere else and it'd be good enough? I don't remember God ever saying that. God never said, well, all you need is the Bible. You don't need the church. You know, he never wrote that anywhere in here. He actually wrote the New Testament to the church. And did you know a lot of Christians apply the New Testament to themselves outside of the local church?
Right.
Outside of the authority structure? Outside of everything else? They apply all those principles wrongly.
Yep.
And they don't see it as a church that's being taught and preached to and exhorted. And they can't figure out, why can't I get things going in my life spiritually? Well, because you're ignoring half the Bible, that's why. And you're trying to apply principles outside of God's economy, and you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. Outside of his institution, you're despising his institution. Listening to sermons online is not the same as the assembly of the saints. You can gain knowledge online, but you can't grow strong joints and bones and muscles online. You're not tested online. You only get taught facts and truths, but they're never tested online. You don't grow to perfection online. You're not serving the Lord online. That's why you need to get to a church. That's why anyone can listen online, but when you come to an assembly every day and your challenge and your flaws come out, your strengths and weaknesses come out, you do one or two things. You work on them and you grow through them, or you run. I've seen both. In fact, I've seen a lot of both. Yeah, you learn to love. Let me ask you a question. Do I make excuses for why I can't be there, or do I think of all the reasons I should be there? Good question, right? I guess I should think about that. Do I make excuses for why I can't go, Or do I list the reasons I should go? Amen. So you just want a house full of people. No, I desire your growth. That's what I desire. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, as much as I love you, I'll be here whether you're not. Amen. I've been here, and I'll still be here by the grace of God. I've been here. I don't go anywhere. I'm here. Amen. Amen. I'm here. Let me tell you something. Let me be very clear to you. If all you want to do is street preach and not be faithful to every service you can be at, no. If you got to work, you got to work. I get it. But don't bother coming if you think you're going to preach and you can be faithful to the house of God and you don't show up. You know why? Because I don't want to preach with unfaithful men. I do not want to preach with unfaithful men. If you can't be here because you have to work, I get it. I get it. There's no problem. But if you can be here and you choose not to be here, then why would I want to preach with unfaithful men? That's not harsh. That's just reality. That's ministry 101, right? That's all that is, right? That's ministry 101. That's all that is. That's just plain old-fashioned faithfulness to God. I don't want to preach with people that don't want to be faithful to God. It's like a show. That scares me, friend. That scares me. If all you want to do is show up to a limelight where the spotlight's on you and you get to be around, you get to be out in front of everybody and showing like you're spiritual, but you don't want to be faithful to God's house. Yeah, there's some street preaching really crazy people out there that do really bad things that you could go preach with, but you won't preach here. Because we don't do that here. We don't believe in that here. We don't treat people like that here. We don't act that way here. We don't treat the house of God like that here. We're Baptist. We actually believe it. We're the ones that actually believe it. We actually know what the church is. We're not confused about it. And we know the importance of it. Again, I remember people have to work. I get it. But you know what? I'd be awful careful. If I could take a job that didn't keep me out of church on Wednesday, I'd do it. If I could. If I can't, then I can't. Amen? I understand. Because Wednesday is not Sunday, and I'm not naive about that. The one thing that concerns me, though, is if your heart doesn't want to be here on Wednesday and doesn't long to be here with your brethren on Wednesday, that's something you got to get alone with God and say, Lord, is there something wrong with my heart? Because I don't really care if I'm not there on Wednesday. Let me ask you a question. You ever think that God will give you strength when you deny your flesh and be obedient to the Lord? Have you ever thought on a spiritual level with that and said, well, I'm only going to get such and such sleep. But look, I don't want you to, like, go out driving some big rig somewhere with, like, 2 hours of sleep. I'm not telling you to do that, okay? I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm saying is that do you ever think, though, that God can make up that lack of sleep you have? That spiritually he can charge you? Do you ever think that? I mean, right? I mean, do we ever think that God can do that? Or, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Can God not do that? What's that? Right. That he can give you power to run and not faint?
Amen.
Right? If you can't run with a footman and are wearied, how shall you contend with horses? If you can't face the devil, or you can't face the devil if you can't face yourself. Right? Ask yourself, do I need the assembly of the saints as a Christian? Do I need the church to be what God wants me to be? Do I believe I can accomplish spiritual growth and victory outside of the body? Do others need the gifts and encouragements that I can bring when I'm where I need to be? Right? What about what God's brought you for? What about what God saved you for? You ever think about that? That you can be that he brought you and saved you and brought you here so you can be a blessing to somebody else, and you don't show up and you're not a blessing to anybody. Yep. Think about that. Right? Then you're telling me, and then I've heard people tell me they want to be in the ministry. Yeah, right. Amen. You don't even care enough about your brethren. You can't be faithful in little. How could God give you more? I hate to break it to you, but I didn't just start out pastoring. Right? I didn't just start out doing that. Didn't happen that way. Through much tribulation. So, now I want to help you with something. How does the body work? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. You know, it is a body. It's not a universal invisible body. Because a nose outside of a body is just a nose. It's a dead nose. That nose has to be connected to the body. Right? There's no such thing as, well, the nose is like over 100 miles away. Right? Has its own blood supply and is connected. Do we have to go through that? What's that song that connected to the... All right, that's enough. That song, right? Do we need to go through that? Maybe we need to sing that, Josh. Maybe we need to put that together so everybody understands. Now, Pastor, that's a little remedial for me. No, it really isn't. Right. It's very practical. That's why God made everything so practical. So it's like, hey, you can't get around this. It's right there. You just want to rebel against God. Yep. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. Right? The offices, the teaching, all those gifts, they're gifts for the perfecting of the saints. Let me ask you a question. Do you despise the gift that God has given you? Because the gifts are for your protection. And for your perfection. Amen. For your spiritual growth. So you come to full maturity. I know. Every kid I always talk to, no, I'm a big boy, Dad. I got this figured out. I'm already a big boy. I know you are. Right? You know your kids tell you that. I'm a big boy. Well, you know what? As a pastor, I have a lot of people that, I'm a big boy. I can do that. I'm a big boy. I know you are, son. I know you are. Your pamper's kind of hanging down, though. Your pamper's hanging down. You got a sad look on your face, and your pamper's hanging down. I can tell you how to fix that. No, I got it all figured out. I'm a big boy now. Right? Yep. It is. I know it's very practical. I know it is. And you all may not like me very much after this, and I understand that. But you know what? I love my mom and dad. Amen. Why? Because they're who God put over me, Amen. And they raised me. Right? And that's what a pastor does, is he raises spiritual children. Amen. Right? Paul said he had begotten them in the gospel. You know, I was reading, I remember one sentence that I remember from the Swedish Baptist here in Minnesota. He rejoiced as he looked out and he said, "These are my children." They were his children in the ministry. They were his converts. They were people that he loved and that he led to Christ and that he tried to grow and he taught them. Look, I'm not running a business here. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to please people and make them happy. I'm here to help you on your journey to the celestial city. Right? The gifts are for your perfection, to come to full maturity. God wants you to come to full maturity. You know why? Because there is leadership. There are rules, and people grow through discipline and instructions. Right? Governors and tutors, that's right. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You cannot grow properly without it. Oh, you'll grow some. You may be a 30-year-old gray-headed baby Christian because you can't stay in the assembly and you can't learn through all the struggles that a child goes through with parents that love them. You need instruction. You need correction. You need affection. You need care. You need oversight. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who's the measuring stick? Christ. To perfection, the perfect man. Does that mean sinless? No. It means as a body, we're like one man. Our head is Christ, and we come to a full maturity together. A full Christian maturity together. That's how it works. Why? That we henceforth, the perfect man, mature, grown up, not a kid tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You know, see a bunch of people out there? You know, when you don't want to obey instructions and you want to be a rebel and you don't want to follow the Lord, I watch your life and I watch you tossed to and fro. I watch you on the seas tossed to and fro. Watch it. No stability, unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Yep. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yeah, they lie in wait to deceive. Remember Christian along the way to the celestial city? How many people did they lie in wait to deceive? How many lied in wait? They were ready to deceive him every step of the way. How many have listened to that? Anybody? Please, friend, I'll give you another admonition. Listen to it. I'll tell you where the link is. I'll show you where it is. Discipline yourself and listen all the way through it. If you don't want to read it, listen to it. It will help you. There's a reason why it was the second most read book in the world, next to the Bible. Written by a Baptist who suffered afflictions and was thrown in prison. There's a reason why, along with the Bible, it was in almost every house in America and England. Do you understand that? There's a reason. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That effectual working of every part. Effectual working. See how that works? All together, every person, every member, every part in its place, right? Working together to the increase of the edifying of itself in love. That's how the body works. All right? That's how it works. All right, now, what I'm going to do is give you... We're going to talk about church membership a little bit, okay? And the importance of the church. the importance of it. Give you some things to think about. Jesus establishes church. It is his institution for this present time to carry out the Great Commission. We find that in Matthew chapter 16. Very clearly, we understand that. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the house of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, which we talked about. The truth is what this dark world needs. And Jesus created the church to be the foundation of the truth and to lift it up so the world can see it. It is the church's job to guard the truth, to train God's people in it, and proclaim it throughout the earth. That is our duty. From Acts to Revelation, the church is a central theme. It is mentioned 110 times in the book of Acts. We see the establishment of the first churches. Most of the New Testament is addressed to specific churches, such as the church of Rome and the church at Corinth. The book of Revelation is addressed to seven specific churches, which we'll talk about sometime in the future. And even those epistles that are not addressed to specific churches have the church in view. The book of Hebrews is addressed to Jewish believers in general, but it contains some of the most powerful exhortations about the church. Hebrews chapter 10. What does the Bible say about not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is? Let's turn there. Hebrews 10. And I'm going to say something to you on that note in a second here, but I'm going to read this first, and then I'm going to say something to you. The Bible says, look at verse number 24, though. Well, actually, I mean, man, we can go back. There's so much here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Look, he's talking about the church. It's not just your single profession. It's you in the church. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Oh, you mean there were those people that did that? Yeah, there have always been those people that did that. Mm-hmm. That's not new. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you use discouragement as an excuse, let me help you with something. I see through it. You know what it's called? Rebellion. You don't want to submit to God. You don't want to submit to his church. You've never surrendered to the Holy Ghost of God, and you're a rebel at heart. And that's what it is. And I ain't deceived by any emotions. As much as I love you, I'm still not deceived by the fact what you're trying to do is tell Daddy what you're going to do. That's what you're trying to do. See that? How do you know that, preacher? Well, I've been through it a few times. I've been through it just a few times. I also have five children. That always helps, doesn't it? You see a lot of things with children. Then when you see church members act like little children, then you kind of figure it out. Only you can't discipline them like kids. Although you'd like to. Really bad, would you like to? You'd like to give them the whooping that their daddy never gave them. Because that's what your little spoiled brat needs. Mm-hmm. Right? He sure will. He sure will. He sure will do it. Because I ain't done nothing to you but love you and hold you accountable to the same book I'm accountable to. I ain't treated you any different than I treat myself. I don't put any expectations on you that I don't put on myself. In fact, I put more on myself than I put on you any day, because God does. But I'm certainly, certainly not going to let you use that against me. I won't. Because it's dealing from a position of weakness and not confidence in the Lord. And I've lost many friends along the way serving the Lord, and I'll lose many more, I'm sure. But that doesn't change the fact that I have to obey him, and I have to follow him, and I have to lead. Does that make sense? And let me tell you what you don't do. You don't hold a rebel's hand in their rebellion. And when you tell me, well, I'm discouraged, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, you're discouraged because you ain't obeying God, number one. That's why you're discouraged. when it comes to that, because you're not submitted to God. That's how you get discouraged. That's how you stay discouraged, is you don't submit to God. You don't submit to his church, you don't submit to his order, and you don't try to do right. You try to go your own way. Right? I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. And then you try to manipulate the pastor. Did you know? I mean, could you ever imagine? Could you actually, people actually try to manipulate me. Can you believe that? I bet you would never think that, would you? I bet you would never think that people would try to take advantage of the pastor. You probably never think that, would you? Right? You'd never think it. Nah, those pastors, they're just mean. They get up and yell at everybody all the time, and they just want their own way, and they just, you know, nobody ever does anything to them. They don't ever have any problems. Yeah, they got it easy. Right? They go golfing every Monday. Not really. It's 30 below here. Nobody goes golfing here. Right? They shoot 200 rounds a week or 400. This week, Scott. 400 this week. Dead shot, too. I mean, good groups and everything, man. Headshots right there in the middle. I mean, perfect. Groups that small. Yeah, man, that's what 400 rounds a week will do for you. I'm telling you. No, seriously, like, right there. Yeah. Right, Ryan? With a Glock 26? Huh? That stubby one I made fun of him for. Look, let me tell you something. You're wrong about 1911s, but you're right about a Glock 26. That's all I got to say. Okay? Right, Garrett? Right? Right, Garrett? Huh? Amen. I get my digs in when I need to. Look, Knick, all right? I get my digs in when I need to, all right? Let's move on. Anyway, we see, but don't use that. I wouldn't do that to you. Honestly, I wouldn't do that to you. Well, if the church doesn't give me such and such, then I'm leaving. Right? Demand a salary. Look, you guys, pony up. Nobody's leaving. Lock the doors. Nobody's leaving until I get a certain amount of money. Especially Garrett. Look, serenade them to get them to give me cash, please. Right? Play one of those little ditties for them. Play one of those ditties and get the cash rolling here. Get the buckets and they can... I'm just kidding. But the point is, I wouldn't do that to you. I've never done that to you. I've never threatened that. Well, I'll just leave if you don't give me what I want. I don't do that. Neither should you. That's not how you treat people with love and respect. And it's certainly not double honor. The Bible does use the term church in the singular when addressing a... does not use the term church singular when addressing a group of churches, so we understand that. We know what the church is. The church is called the house of God. It has offices. How about membership of the church? Let's talk about that a little bit. The doctrine of church membership is found in the book of Acts, beginning with the first church in Acts chapter 1. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 1, verse number 15. It says here, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of the names together were about 120. So they had a church that had 120, right? We see that there. We see the names of the members were kept. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, those that were saved on the day of Pentecost were added unto them, right? Then they that gladly received his word, they got saved, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Right? Those who were saved and baptized were added to the church. That's a membership. It's very clear. Membership is taught in the examples of Phoebe, the church at the church of Synecra, and Onesimus of the church of Colossia. We see that they were members of that church. Even when these brethren were on missions to other places, they retained their identity with their home churches. They were still, even when they were out evangelizing and doing work, they still were responsible to that sending church. Now, here's some reasons. I want to give you four reasons why we need church membership. Church membership is a matter of practicality. Like many other things in the assembly, if a church does not have membership, how can it know who is in the church and who is out? We need, number one, we need church membership because each church is a body and a family, right? Though there is a larger family of God, each church is also a family, a part of that family of God, has its own business. Each separate church is a spiritual body with its own members. Paul said to Corinth, he said, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. So he's telling them, he's saying, this is church membership. You're members of that body. And if one is, we rejoice with them or we weep with them. But we are one body. Number two, we need church membership to keep unity in truth. The Bible requires that every believer, that believers have one mind in doctrine and practice. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I'll tell you what happens in a church. When that doesn't happen, there's people that leave because they don't want to be of the same mind. And by the way, I want you to understand something. I can see when somebody's gearing towards that. I can watch it, and I can see their demeanor, and I know something's wrong. I can see it. Just look at him and say, mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Brother Andrew? Even before they make it evidently known, I've told you and I've told Lee, I've said, well, there's a problem there. I can see it. And this is what I think is going to happen. And guess what? Almost to a T, right? Almost to a T. I wish I could be surprised in a positive way. Right? I wish it could be a positive way that I'd be surprised. Really do. Without membership, we have no way to keep out false teachers and maintain our unity and truth as God requires. We need church membership for discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There were some problems in Corinth. Paul said, hey, this got to get straight, man. You got to get some discipline in order there. Verse number 11. But now I've written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let me tell you something. And by the way, none of them are serving God anywhere. You understand that, right? You understand that, right? Let me make that clear. Let me make it crystal clear. None of them are serving God anywhere. Do you understand that? Now, why is that? I thought Pastor Cooley was the most evil guy in the world, and he was the mastermind behind all things, and he's the reason why, and it's his fault, and everything's bad with him, and it's all him, and everything. Well, why aren't you serving God? I'm still serving God. Why aren't you? Oh, I know, because you're a liar. That's why. And you're just a rebel. I know. I'm sorry. I can only be real with you. I can't be some fake guy, and I can't get up here and act like somebody else. I can't do that with you. I won't do it. I won't do it. 1 Corinthians 5 deals with church discipline. In verse number 12, we see that there are those who are in the church and those who are without. How can a congregation know who is in and who is out? Who is under discipline and who is not, unless it has some form of membership? As we have stated, it is a matter of practicality. Parents can't discipline other people's children, and the church can't discipline those who are not part of its own family. Also, verse number 11 says, those under discipline cannot eat, which refers both to personal fellowship and to the Lord's Supper. The church has the obligation before God to exercise discipline over its members, and those who are under discipline cannot partake of communion. Mm-hmm. Thus, there must be a way for the church to know who is part of that family and who is outside of it. You know, we need church membership for authority. The Bible says to obey them that have the rule over you. According to these scriptures, each believer is to be under the authority of church rulers. How can the church leaders know who they are ruling if there's no membership? Do pastors have rule over anyone else who visits the church? Of course not. How could they? There must be some sort of membership which involves a standard by which the church accepts members and a commitment on the part of those seeking membership. There must be a covenant. Through the years, some believers have disagreed, David Cloud says, with him about church membership. They are convinced the only membership they need is to be a part of is Christ's mystical body. And they have a bad attitude toward pastoral authority. Oh, have you ever seen that, Brother Andrew? Oh, probably not. No, I've seen that. Never seen that too much. Not at all. So I like what he asked one church hopper one time. He said, who has the rule over you? He replied, Christ. But David Cloud responded to him, but Hebrews 13:7 and verse number 17 are not talking about Christ himself, but about leaders in the church. He had no answer. Of course not. Faithfulness to the church. There are some reasons. I'm going to give you some reasons why faithfulness to the church is so important. Number one, the believer needs the teaching and preaching of God's word. The church is the divinely ordained Bible Institute for training and discipling believers. God gives ministry-gifted men to the church to build up the flock and protect it from error. We've already discussed those verses. Number two, the believer needs the fellowship with other Christians. You need to be with like-minded Christians who love the Lord. It's a necessary part of Christian growth and protection from error. And then it's my fault. Oh, pastor, you should have called more. Well, you should have showed up to church. Touche. You should have just came to church. Why didn't you show up to church? You should have done this, pastor, and you should have done that. But, well, you should have. How come you told somebody else you had a problem and you never come to me? Hey, if I'm wrong, I'll admit it, and I have a track record of doing it. You all know that. If I'm wrong about something, I have a track record of admitting it to you. I dare you. How many other pastors do you know that do that, that open themselves up and become vulnerable to you and tell you their flaws and admit them and repent of them in front of you? How many do you know do that? I don't know any other ones, and I'm not bragging. How many of you served under? How many of them have done that? Even when they were wrong. The believer needs the Lord's Supper. The breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper as well as the fellowship, as well as the fellowship over meals with one another in the body. The Lord's Supper is a church ordinance, and the New Testament is always a church function. Some radio pastors like J. Vernon McGee. Conduct the Lord's Supper for their radio congregations. But this is not scriptural. Radio program is not a church, and a preacher I listen to on the radio or television via the internet is not my pastor. Number four, the believer needs the prayers of the saints. Prayer is one of the four essential spiritual activities mentioned in connection with the first church. This refers to corporate prayer. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Look at that. We're almost done here in like 2 hours. But yeah, nobody's fallen down out of the window, fell asleep, fallen out of the window yet, so we're good. Nobody fell off the safe over there or anything. And they continued, verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Look what it says here, because they did. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Great fear. The believer needs the ministry of exhortation from the other believers. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews, you need that. You need your brothers and sisters. You need that fellowship and that edification and that exhortation from each other. The church services are not something to attend to merely sit and watch like a spectator sport. Every believer should attend church prayerfully, asking God how he can be a help and a blessing to the brethren. We are to provoke one another to good works and exhort one another in the Lord. Look, this is not a passive membership or passive-aggressive. Sorry. Anyway, but it's not. But you and I should exhort one another daily. We are to be an encouragement to one another. We are to exhort each other. Number six, the believer needs spiritual protection. There's protection in the body. The church is like a family. It's a place of nurture and protection for the children of God. And the Bible warns that there are many powerful spiritual enemies, and these grow stronger as the time of Christ's return grows near. Those who are careless about church attendance and who are not as committed as they should be are in danger of being devoured by the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, that lion doesn't come around when there's a group of men as easy. When there's a group together, he comes around to pick off one, right, that strays away or injured or rebellious. Look, I'm going to tell you, there's some people that try to mask their rebellion in a pretend discouragement, and I don't buy it. I don't buy it. That is a cloak that does not cover. The believer needs the ministry of discipline. Discipline is a ministry. For even a pastor to come and exhort you and talk to you privately about a matter and try to encourage you and try to get you to get right and show you where there's some things that you're doing that are off. Look, I've met people that their marriage is not going that great, yet they want to tell me how to pastor a church. And it should be the opposite. You should be coming for help. But you're too proud and stubborn and foolish to realize you need it. But instead, I'll try to find an error with the pastor, so what are you going to throw me off the trail or something? Like I don't know what's going on? Yeah, exactly. The child doesn't like discipline, but he needs it. And the same is true for the Christian. Number eight, the believer needs to contribute his spiritual gifts in ministry. Think about that. What do you have to contribute? If you're not here, if you're not faithful, you can't contribute your gifts. You can't edify the body. Those are the gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. We've already talked about those in past sermons. See those sermons. The church is a body made up of many members who have different gifts and ministries that God gives them. If a believer neglects the church and refuses to get involved as he should, the church is weakened and God's work in this needy world is not fully accomplished. But many people are too selfish to realize that. They're too busy worried about themselves and thinking about themselves and not enough about God and not enough about people that need them. Every believer needs to ask, what ministry can I get involved in? How can I serve the Lord in the church? What is my part? Instead of, what can you do for me? What does your church have to offer me? No, what do you have to offer the church? Amen. Right? God never called any man to preach that wasn't a servant. Never. Never. And that doesn't mean serving yourself. He should seek to grow stronger and gain more wisdom from God's word so he can find his place in ministry and calling. Then number 9, the believer needs to contribute to the Lord's work. Offerings, and some people believe in tithing, and giving 10% is a good place to start. We don't preach the law of tithing here, but it ain't a bad place to start. Amen. Ain't a bad place to start. A lot of times it was 20% in the Old Testament. So, oh, you're after money. Yeah, I talk about it a whole bunch. Go look on my website and see how many times I've talked about it. Go look at all 900 sermons on there and see how many times I've preached directly on money. Probably not enough, to be honest with you. Probably not enough. Right. But it's not that God takes care of it. But the point is that you have to be instructed, and you have to know what's right, and you have to know what God expects from you. God expects for you to give. That's what he expects from you. He expects you to be faithful in your giving. Amen? As unto the Lord. But listen, those are the requirements. Those are some things about church membership that are important. I hope you take to heart the spirit that this is given in. Paul said, "Bold is my speech toward you. I make no apology for being bold, because I've met with the Lord this week. And men that are humbled by God and meet with God are bold with men. And I will not apologize for that. Neither will I be derelict in my duty towards you to instruct you, because I love you. And I've watched people, I've watched them go, and I've watched their lives be destroyed. I've watched them disobey God, and I've watched the traps that they've got into, and I've warned them. I ceased not to warn them night and day, but they ignored it. But we are only as strong as our weakest member. That's why we must encourage and strengthen each other. Build each other up. Not neglect one another, but love one another. And bear with each other's infirmities, and bear with each other's weaknesses, and love one another with a pure heart fervently." Remember that sermon, Fervent Charity? Fervent charity is not ignoring all of you, walking away and acting like you don't exist, never responding and walking away. That's not love, that's hate. Father, Lord, please, help us to take it to heart. Help our hearts to be stirred with the truth. Lord, help us to love each other. Lord, this world's, it's getting wicked. Lord, it's waxing worse and worse. And judgment must begin at the house of God. Lord, we must be strong. Build us, Father. Lord, I want to see our youth. There's an army of them coming, and I know Satan hates it. But Lord, there's 25 kids in this church, an army of them, that will be raised up in due season to fight the devil when I'm in my grave. And dear God, I mean by the grace of God to arm them properly. Help us never to lose sight of that. Father, please bless the food to our bodies and the time we have together. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.